Recently, when I've been doing emails, they sound like they have an attachment. I didn't send any attachment, but JAWS says attachment enclosed or attachment or whatever it says, and then, you know, it reads me my sent and stuff like that.
You're correct. You did not add an attachment. Somewhere along the way, a piece of tracking information was added to that email, especially because there's something called a reverse lookup where they could actually track back an email to make sure it's actually coming from you as opposed to someone impersonating you and trying to abuse the email system. It'll be a very small piece of information, like a couple bytes only. Yes, you did not add the attachment, but there are sometimes very small pieces of information added to the email, and they do show up as attachments sometimes. Yes, I wouldn't be too concerned about it.
Does anybody know of a Google Disability telephone number helpline?
You can contact Google Disability Monday to Friday through the Be My Eyes app. Or you can do, I think it's googledisability@gmail.com. I think it's the email address.
If you can't find a number for them, you might try the Microsoft Accessibility Help Desk.
So I still have some Wi-Fi problems in my house, and I have upgraded the Wi-Fi package. I've also bought a Wi-Fi extender. Doesn't seem like the Wi-Fi extender is like extending the Wi-Fi. Do you think maybe getting like a mesh system might fix my problem?
Basically, I have a house that is a study in what I call evolutionary construction, which means that they kept adding on to it. It started out as a real small house, and it now kind of rambles all over the place. And I have never had good Wi-Fi connectivity since I've moved up here, which I did in about 2003. Until, that is, I heard of this thing called a mesh router. And mesh is a newer Wi-Fi technology, and basically what it does is to kind of build a daisy chain of wireless connections so that you start out at your original router, and then the next router that or the next satellite that it sees connects to the original router, and then the next satellite after the second satellite connects to the first one, and it kind of goes like that through your whole house, a daisy chain. The end result is that with a couple of satellites, in addition to your mesh router, you get fantastic coverage over the whole house. I have an Orbi RBS 50, or RB50, I mean, Orbi RB50, which is a router and a satellite. So you get two things in the box. You get the router, you get the satellite. You connect up the router. You then go into a thing where it says add satellites. And I think your first satellite, all you have to do is press the sync button. And you may not even have to do that. I've done this a couple of times now, so I don't exactly remember what I did.
So, Tim, get that and then plug it into the gateway, like I got from Comcast, a router.
Yes, yes, that's exactly what you do. You plug it into the gateway, you sync up the satellite, and that's all you got to do. And from then on,
it covered the entire house you mentioned.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now because of the way my Wi-Fi is in this house, I actually have two satellites.
Okay.
I went out and bought another one, and I now have complete coverage through the whole house. It's solid everywhere. It never drops. And so I'm a happy guy.
And what was the name of the company you mentioned?
Orbi. O-R-B-I.
Okay. And you found the software accessible for setting it up?
Yeah. The software is basically a web interface. It's not the nicest one in the world, but everything is readable. There are a lot of things that don't look like buttons or headings or anything else, but if you click on them, they will make things happen.
I actually bought a competitor to the Orbi. It's called Eero, E-E-R-O. They're actually now owned by Amazon. You can buy them through Amazon. It's very similar. You plug it in, like you said, plug it into the gateway, and you put the satellites wherever you need them, and you can buy more satellites as needed. And that one I did set up through the iPhone app, which is very accessible. In general, the way these things work is you'll plug one unit into the gateway. Wherever you think you have poor connectivity, you'll place a satellite. Yeah.
You should look around too for Eero, because a lot of times you can get two or three Eero devices in a package between $100 and $129 off. So look around for a lot of coupon codes. You know, you can get it as cheap as $249 for the three. You know, that's what we did. And Black Friday is coming up. So Amazon Prime Day is coming up on October 5th. That might be the time to get it. It's very well integrated, of course, with a lot of Amazon devices. So if you have Echoes and Ring Video doorbells and all of that, Eero actually has specific support for these devices. The other cool thing about Eero is they have Eero Plus, which gives you a bunch of additional features. It does cost per year. I find that just with the 1Password and the VPN subscription that you get when you get that subscription, it more than pays for itself.
I will have to say that the only regret that I have about doing the mesh network is that I didn't do it sooner.
A lot of the companies like RCN or like Verizon, if you have whoever provides your wireless service or your Wi-Fi service, a lot of them will allow you to rent the mesh system. So if you don't know if it will work for your house and you don't want to invest hundreds of dollars, you can often do that. Give it a try, and if it's great, then you can purchase one and return it to them.
I was wondering if Vibug could do some kind of class on how to use iTunes on Windows, because it's really driving me nuts. Sometimes I want to buy my books and stuff directly from there, as opposed to the iPhone and the iPad.
I think iTunes is either going away or has already gone away. I would just go with Apple Books, because it's a lot more accessible than iTunes. I think the Apple Books is probably your bigger selection.
And they're accessible. I don't have to look for books that say, you know, prepared for accessibility. Like
that's right.
With Kindle.
That's right.
I think iTunes at this point is similar to Internet Explorer. You can use it, but I think it is going to be going away sooner or later.
So I recently got a book in Google Play Books, and I logged in and had the book in my library, but I'm not seeing any way to read it. Like, I swipe up and down and try to do page turners. I'm not able to read the book. Any suggestions on that?
Okay, well, maybe if anybody has any suggestions or experiences, they can post it to the support list, and that might help.
Are there any accessible MP3 players other than the Victor Stream or the player from mp3players.com? I have a lot of CDs that I digitized on my own and would like to continue to be able to play them on some kind of MP3 player. And my Victor Reader may not be lasting me very long.
It's possible that you could put an MP3 file on a Olympus DM series, like a DM720 or 620 or something like that. I don't know.
Why don't you put your MP3s in your iDevice and use VLC to play them? You do it from your computer, and when you open VLC for the phone, you can turn on this option in iPhone VLC that makes a little web server, and you go back to your computer and upload your music that way to your iDevice, and then VLC will play them. It's VLC, Video LAN Client. It's what I use everywhere, a media player. And the Apple version happens to have this setting you can turn on that activates a little web server on your phone that gives you an address that you link to from the PC.
So I have an app called Cloud Music Player that I've been using for quite a few years that I really love. And it's just for situations like, you know, where you have a lot of, CDs, et cetera, that you've ripped and so on. So you need to either have a Dropbox account or OneDrive or something like that. You put the music in there in your various folders. You upload it to Cloud Music Player. They come right in there as the folders, as playlists. You don't have to do anything to them. And then you can just get into a folder and it will play as a playlist. And I think that costs $3.99 or $4.99. And that's what I use for my music.
The other thing, Marta, is if you go to the Vibug site, David Kingsbury did a Media Cloud demo that's on our site. So you can go listen to that and get an idea. Because the other thing that will definitely play, especially if you have Dropbox and you can import the files on the phone, the other thing that will play files on the phone is VoiceStream Reader will play MP3s.
Let me just ask Martyr a question. Are you using Office 365?
I purchased it. I have to reinstall it, but I do have it.
If you had a lot of music and you had 365, you know, you can put up to a gigabyte's worth of storage into OneDrive. Just a little correction. I might have, when I was talking about OneDrive, I might have said you have a grand total of a gigabyte of storage. It's a terabyte of storage, so, you know, 1,000 gigabytes in OneDrive.
I was wondering if anybody knew if Google Classroom had a Windows 10 app.
I believe there's an Android app and an iOS app for it, but I don't think there's a Windows one, not that I know of.